Take your Bibles, please. Find Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And look down to the last of chapter 4, and we'll read the last three verses, all three verses together, if you will. Verse 30, 31, and 32. Ready? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Keep your Bibles open to Ephesians 5 for me, if you will. Somebody deal with this sinner coming down front. I'm not going there. Can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you what it's not. Now, listen to me very carefully here. The Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us. One of the most prominent jobs of the Holy Spirit is to encourage us. And yet the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That means we could grieve or we could discourage the encourager. Yeah. I want to make five introductory statements, and then I'm going to jump into the message tonight. But if you don't listen to these five statements, you're going to be lost for the next 34 minutes. Number one, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to encourage us. Amen. Number two, I can discourage or grieve the Holy Spirit. Number three, it hurts me when I discourage the Holy Spirit because then he cannot encourage me. Folks, when you discourage your encourager, the ability to be encouraged is gone. When I discourage him, I hinder his ability to encourage me. Number four, I must find what discourages the Holy Spirit so that I do not hinder his ability to encourage me. There are some specific things that God says that grieve or discourage the Holy Spirit of God. Number five, I need to find what encourages the Holy Spirit so that he can continue to encourage me. Now let me read those five statements very quickly. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to encourage me. I can discourage or grieve the Holy Spirit. It hurts me when I discourage the Holy Spirit because then he cannot encourage me. I must find what discourages the Holy Spirit so that I do not hinder his ability to encourage me. And lastly, I need to find what encourages the Holy Spirit so he can continue to encourage me. This is true in a marriage. Fellas, coming home grumbling and complaining about everything that happened during the day, and then you wonder why your wife doesn't want to encourage you, it doesn't help things much. Ladies, after a long day with the kids and everything, your husband doesn't want to be met at the door with how many times he's got to beat the kids and what went wrong and this, that, and the other thing. He wants to be encouraged a little bit rather than discouraged from the moment he walks through the door. When you begin to discourage your encourager, watch this, you lose your ability to be encouraged. This is true in a friendship. We've all had those friends that you don't want to ask them how they're doing because they're going to tell you. Everything's wrong. What do? You just encourage people. This is true with children and parents. Parents, I'm not for this power positive thinking, but and I realize there's stages in life that are a little bit more contrary than others. But not everything in life is negative. You find what good you can and focus on that. This is true in a church. I try not to come here and hound on everybody about everything wrong. I hope you come to get encouraged, not walk away, "Oh, that was horrible." I believe people come and say, "Wow, I got something I could use today. I got something that I needed today." And that's the Holy Spirit encouraging you, even though I may not feel like it. Even though I have things wrong and tough in my life, it's not my job to get up here and tell you what's all going wrong. Say, "But preacher, how do you stay on topside so much?" None of your business. I just do it. Do you have problems? Yes. Like everybody else. Matter of fact, probably have more because I know more people. But guess what? It's not my job to come here and, "Oh, it's so bad this week." And I've been in churches like that. Yeah. I want to stand up and slap the dude and say, "Go get an honest job." You often stay discouraged because you discourage the Holy Spirit to the point where he cannot encourage you. You wonder why the Christian life gets discouraging. It's because you've discouraged your encourager. So, God says that there are five things that discourage the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to give you those five things quickly tonight so that you can avoid them. Everybody look at me. You have within your heart and in your life, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God. The very Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave. You have the power of God available to you, and yet we put him in a little box and seal the box up and wonder why we walk around miserable. And I'm not saying things don't come that cause sadness, but we shouldn't live in a discouraged state. Number one, my Bible says bitterness discourages the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 4. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Watch this. "Let all bitterness..." Wow. The first thing God says that discourages the Holy Spirit is bitterness. I need everybody to pay attention to me for just a second. Bitterness is like cancer.
Yes, Lord.
It's in you and begins to eat away at you. I'm not good at much, Brother Kevin. No amens from either one of you. But I will tell you this. I don't remember the last time I've ever had any bitterness in my heart with anybody.
Amen.
Anybody. I don't hold any bitterness in my life. If I took my last breath tonight, I can go to heaven bitterness free. Say, "Why, preacher? I'm not about to harbor any bitterness. I've had my fair share of enemies. I've had my fair share of attacks." But may I say something? I'm not bitter with any of it or them. Bitterness is the lack of forgiveness and not letting go of being wronged. By the way, you can be bitter with yourself. I know people that are angry and bitter over their past, and you won't forgive yourself. Well, this altar is big enough for you tonight. Why do you want to live angry with your past? Everybody doing okay? You don't have to live in remorse and bitterness of your past. It's under the blood, and God says, "What are you talking about? As far as the east is removed from the west, it's buried in the depths of the deepest sea. He's removed them from us." And may I say this, you do not have to live in bitterness. Bitter people never stay encouraged because bitterness discourages the Holy Spirit. Find somebody that's bitter, I'll show you somebody that's always discouraged. God's great. Yeah, but he wasn't good to me. Okay, you got a bitter person. God did this. Great, but how come he didn't do it for me? Never does anything like that for me. I remember back in 1934. I don't think I have anybody can remember that far back, except maybe Brother Jim. Whew, I got to go back a little farther. But may I say this? When you're always focused on what was, it means you never let go. I have a sermon I'm working on called "It's Hard to Let Go When You Keep Hanging On." And bitterness is keeping hanging on of that which you should let go of. There are times you need to let go. That's why God says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize, the high calling God in Christ Jesus. Preachers, everything going right in your life? Right. But bitter people never stay encouraged because they keep discouraging the Holy Spirit. Bitterness is revisiting either your wrong or someone else's wrong. Why do you keep revisiting wrong? Everybody doing okay? We have this obsession with revisiting the wrong. That's one of the things I think is wicked about some churches. They call it church discipline. I call it church stupidity. Somebody does something wrong in the church and you want to stand them up and they have to tell the whole church what they did that was sinful or wrong. Well, they need to get it right. Did you know you don't have to get it right with everybody? You got to get it right with God. And don't worry about it. Let God be true and every man a liar. None of your business. None of my business. I was talking to somebody recently and matter of fact, it was Marcy last week. And I said, "Marcy, I still don't know everything that's going on." She said, "Well, I'll tell you." I said, "I don't need to know." I said, "Unless there's a reason I need to help you and I need to know, do me a favor. Don't tell me anymore." She looked at me. She said, "Do you know you're the first preacher to ever say that to me?" I said, "I'm sorry, but I don't need to know anymore. I know enough. And believe me, I know plenty." I said, "I don't need to know anymore to help you." Can I tell you something? Maybe we ought to quit revisiting the bad and focus on the good. Everybody look at me for a second. The Holy Spirit is God, right? Watch this. If that's the case, God said he buries our sin and puts it away from him. So every time you bring it up, you're discouraging him because he's not thinking about it. He's already put it away. When you bring up the past and past hurts to hurt someone, you're showing bitterness, and that's why you're discouraged. You get in an argument with somebody, you say, "Well, I remember last time when you did." Okay, you're bitter. "Well, I know what you're thinking." No, you don't. You're not a mind reader, and you can't even read your own. Usually it's a blank page. You can say, "Here are your tendencies," but you don't know what they're thinking. Everybody doing all right? All right. And that's true with your children. That's true with anybody. "Well, I know what my wife is thinking right now." No, you don't. Nobody knows what a woman's thinking until she opens her mouth and tells you. "Well, I know what my husband's thinking." He's not. He's a man. Come on now. Now we went from preaching to meddling, didn't I, fellas? All right. The altar should be full tonight of people settling some bitterness in their past. You wonder why you walk around like a Hoover vacuum cleaner sucking dirt off the carpet? Because you're full of bitterness and you're not letting the Holy Spirit do his work. And you're discouraging the very one, the power of God in your life that could encourage you. And all you're doing is discouraging him. So bitterness discourages the Holy Spirit. Next, it says wrath. Let all bitterness and wrath. What is wrath? Wrath is passionate anger that burns beyond reason or truth. Now we're going to go to meddling. Wrath isn't always anger. It's being over emotional about anything. I know people. Is Miss Kim here tonight? She's not. Too bad. I'd love to see her laugh at this one. You go to a black funeral, you'll find people that are full of wrath, not anger, just exaggerated emotion. Brother Jackson, you know, big tall brother Jamie Jackson, his grandmother passed away. And I took my wife to Sullivan's Island, South Carolina, to go to the funeral. It was in a black church. We were the only cream in the chocolate, amen? And I was sitting one row behind Miss Mabel, and they had all the deacons there, and then they had the deaconesses with their white outfits and white gloves on. And Miss Mabel wasn't crying because Mama was in heaven, but them deaconesses wasn't having it because she wasn't getting out there without crying. And I mean, they were working her. Come on, Mabel, come on. And they'd walk up and they'd take her by the face and talk to her and whap, 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 smack her in the face, try to get her to cry. I spoke up. My wife said, shh. I said, no, I said, Miss Mabel, cry and get it over with. They're going to bruise you. He said, what was it? It's extra emotion that's not needed. It's all emotionalism. And wrath is that exaggerated emotion. Let me put it down to where you children understand. When you get punished by your parents and you get paddled, and you go from crying to wailing, and you don't stop. That, and your parents say, if you don't quit, I'm going to give you something to cry about. That's why I was crying to begin with. But you took it too far. That's exactly what wrath is. Wrath is more than anger. It is that extreme, passionate, out of control emotion. It's more than anger. I know people that lose it at the drop of a hat, and they'll provide you the hat. Their emotions are just... You say, why? They're full of wrath. They thrive on that rush of emotion. Everybody doing okay? So wrath is an emotion that overrides truth. When your emotions are controlling you and not truth, you are full of wrath. Wrath is allowing the passion of an issue to override the Holy Spirit. That's why when someone dies, so many people are wrathful. They can't accept death as part of life. They can't accept eternity as real. And they've got to lose control over everything and wonder why they're hurting for so long. Can I tell you why? Because you're not letting the Holy Spirit help you, because you've overridden him and you've discouraged him with your wrath. Good people who protest abortion, which is not a bad cause, but get violent and senseless, are now living in wrath. I know people who won't go to church, but they'll protest an abortion clinic. That's wrath. They're so passionate about it, but they're not living in truth. They're living a truth, but not all truth. Boy, that's good stuff. I know churches, they've quit soul winning, but they have their sign ministry. They'll go stand on street corners with signs saying Jesus loves you in John 3:16, and we did our witnessing for the day. No kidding. The Holy Spirit is discouraged because he cannot lead you when you allow your emotions to lead you. And your emotion becomes more important than the Holy Spirit. Well, preacher, you just don't understand how deeply I feel. Yes, I do. I just don't let my emotions get the best of me. I want the Holy Spirit to have the best of me. Amen. We were all concerned about Brother Randy a few weeks ago when he had his episode. Preacher, how'd you keep it under control? Because I was looking at the little brass plate that's right here saying, I yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Was I concerned? More than anybody, trust me. But that wasn't the time to let my emotion control me. It was time for the Holy Spirit to control me to help everybody get through it. Yes, see how that works? Number three. You ready? So, let all bitterness and wrath, what's the next one? And anger. That's why wrath is not anger, because God mentions anger. Mm-hmm. Anger is planned vengeance to get back at someone who hurts you. Yep. Anger isn't just you smacked your finger with the hammer and it smarts. Anger is you want to take the hammer and smack somebody else's finger on purpose. That's anger. Planning to attack somebody and hurt people who have hurt you discourages the Holy Spirit. I had a preacher recently call me. Wanted to know how to handle the situation. And I said to that preacher, don't become guilty of being what your attackers are doing to you. Boy, he stepped back. I said, don't attack. Teach your people how to deal with when they attack. But don't list that person nor the event. Teach them how to handle what's being attacked. And don't attack your attacker. I said it this way to a fellow pastor. Train the sheep to watch out for a wolf. Don't just shoot the wolf. Don't go after the wolf. Train the sheep when they smell wolf to come to the shepherd. He said, oh, I got it. I said, yes. Planning attacks to hurt people causes the Holy Spirit to say, mm-mm, yes. Not going to be part of that. Then you're out there all by yourself. Right. Anger comes as a result of bitterness and angry people who are discouraged because their anger and their wrath has discouraged the Holy Spirit. And they have nobody to encourage them. I've had more than one attacker. But you know what's really fun? Living with the power of the Holy Spirit long enough, strong enough, that you forgive and don't get bitter. And eventually, sometimes you can win some of your enemies back as friends. Amen. That's a wonderful day in your life. When you plan to get back at somebody, you are discouraging the Holy Spirit. God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. I will repay. Vengeance is you going after somebody because they came after you. That's where the Holy Spirit begins to discourage and step away. The Holy Spirit's like a dove, the Bible says. Do you know how flighty a dove is? Shoot, you men that hunt know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Early bow season. You're walking out through the field. Mm-hmm. It's 5:30 in the morning. It's pitch black. And you take a step and all of a sudden you hear. At 5:30 in the morning, a dove is the loudest thing in the world. When everything else is quiet. Yeah. You say, what is it? It got nervous and it flies away. That's exactly what you do to the Holy Spirit when you grieve him. He just steps away. Number four. God says, let all bitterness and wrath, anger. Next one, clamor. Now this one's kind of funny. Clamor discourages the Holy Spirit. Clamor is loud opposition or loud disagreement with authority. clamor is when somebody says something you don't like, you're you're afraid to say anything, but you're making your presence known. You deserve that one. Good thing that one was empty, huh? Now, wait a minute. No. No, that was anger. Now, wait a second. Clamor is when you're loudly opposing leadership and authority. Well, I don't agree with all that authority. Then keep your mouth shut. For you to step up and say how much you disagree with that authority, you are guilty of clamor. Let me go a step farther. You hate all authority that doesn't agree with you. There are people in this world that hate all doctors because they had one that didn't do something exactly the way they wanted, so all doctors are a quack. Yeah. That's not true. Now, if you choose to use natural stuff, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you something. God cursed the earth, and 3/4 of the health food store is a result of sin because it's all weeds. Hello. You can eat as natural as you want. You're still going to die. I'm not critical. I'm just saying, don't criticize somebody else because they don't agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I don't care if you go the natural way or the what you call the chemical way. Well, that's just chemicals. Where do you think they got it? Same place you got your natural stuff. The ground. The earth. It all comes, you don't go to space and get these things and bring them back. No, it all comes from the same cursed earth. When you run your mouth or your attitude against authority, you are discouraging the Holy Spirit. Parents, when you talk bad about your spouse or talk bad about someone in authority over your children in front of your children, you've discouraged the Holy Spirit not only in your life but their life. You want to complain about an authority? Get on your knees before God and talk to God about it. But don't talk about it in front of other people. Because I'm going to tell you why. Everybody look at me. God gives authority to us to be over us, and now you're talking against God himself. That's what God says. Young people, you discourage the Holy Spirit when you start running your mouth against your mom and dad or a teacher or a Sunday school teacher. Parents, when your kids get caught doing wrong and you run your mouth against the authority and you want to badmouth everybody, how about you get on your knees and get right with God to help a young person get right with God instead of complaining about people that care enough to catch them? I prayed every day of my children's life that they would get caught doing wrong. Long before it became worse. So that's not fair. Yeah, but I did my best to keep them from getting into wrong. Boy, that's good stuff. We're not to be going around expressing our opposition to authority. Walking around, strutting around work, telling how much you hate the bosses discourages the Holy Spirit. And you wonder why you can't get a better job, better position at your job, or better pay. Boy, that's good stuff. Our vocal opposition to authority grieves the Holy Spirit because it breaks down his authority as you break down other authority. I preached this sermon about 2 years ago. Listen to the main thought of this. Did you know the scribes, the Pharisees, and the government never criticized Jesus for what he did? The question was this: by what authority do you do these things? We didn't give you that authority. Oh, so they had an authority issue. Who's going to complain about Jesus healing somebody? They wanted to know where he got the power to do it because they didn't give it to him. Everybody doing all right? So clamor is you going around thinking you're the banty rooster and you're about to get your feathers plucked. Because the Holy Spirit's going to back up and you're out there all by yourself. Number five. The last thing that God says that discourages the Holy Spirit is evil speaking. When you enter into to either listen or speak to destroy somebody, you're entering evil speaking. Evil is a plot to hurt somebody. Evil is a conspiracy to go against somebody. Brother Paul and Brother Kevin and I got together to try to destroy Brother Patrick. That conversation to try to figure out how to destroy him would be considered evil speaking. We're not supposed to listen to it. Every once in a while, some preacher called me to try to gossip to me and tell me the latest gossip mill about so-and-so and what they're doing. And I always tell them, look, I don't want to listen, don't want to hear it. And they say, well, you're going to. That's what the off button on my phone's for. You say, you would do that right in the middle of a conversation. Say why? I'm not going to participate in evil speaking. My reputation is such, preachers will call me and say, now, I need to tell you something negative, but it's about here, not about something else. Okay. They know that red button on my phone's quick to get hit. Amen. The Holy Spirit cannot look or listen to evil because evil is totally opposite what the Holy Spirit is. So when you enter into trying to hurt somebody, the Holy Spirit says, I want no part.
Yes, sir.
You're by yourself. Do it on your own. I'm not going to help. Gossip is evil.
Yes, sir.
Expressing opposition to rules to get others to follow you instead of the rules is evil.
Yes,
talking bad about those who enforce the rules is evil. Getting even with somebody is vengeance, which is evil, and you're trying to take God's place because he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Quit taking God's spot and just do your part. How can a forgiving God plan the destruction of someone else? And that's what you're asking the Holy Spirit to do? No wonder he's discouraged. Those are the five things that discourage the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you something. He said there's three things that encourage him. Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. That means this, kindness encourages the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
What happened to please and thank you? What happened to yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir? And by the way, I think adults need to use it, not just children.
Amen.
And I'll say this. I think if adults would use it with the children are more apt to use it with us.
Amen.
What happened to just being kind to people? I don't know how many times I'll hold the door for somebody in public, some lady or family that's got their hands full. And people almost look at you like, where'd you come from? Or, oh, thank you very much. Like, that's a rare occasion.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to general kindness?
Yeah.
What happened to be kind at home instead of grouchy, grumpy, and like you ate dill pickle juice for breakfast? Good night. We ought to be kind to one another. Well, they're just brothers, or they're just brothers and sisters, or they're just sisters. They're going to fight. No, they're supposed to be Christians above that. God says, be kind one to another. How about we learn to be kind to each other? That means when you come to a four-way and you're not sure what somebody's going to do, let somebody else go. Don't go speeding through and make everybody mad. 5 seconds isn't going to change your life that much. I promise you. But I got to win. What? You're like that person on the freeway that goes 90 miles an hour to pass you 100 yards before the exit and they get off at the exit. Yeah. And you had all this room behind you, but they got to pass you just to get to the exit. My wife has heard me say this hundreds of times. Go ahead. My blood pressure isn't going to rise. I don't get upset with them. I'm not going to let them get the best of me. I had one guy, I was in the fast lane doing about 3 miles over, but I knew the police were everywhere. I was trying to save him a ticket. He was riding my backside. I just kept going. I got to be the old man in my truck. Before too long, he whips out and around. He's whipping through traffic, gets ahead of me, and slows down to about 35 miles an hour on Route 9. Say, what'd you do? Changed lanes and went around him. Turbo V6, amen. I got a backup speed limit. He's flashing his IQ. It's okay, it was only one number. I said, dude, you don't bother me. Yeah. It doesn't bother me a bit. I didn't get all hot and under the collar. I didn't honk my horn. I didn't scream and holler. No need to. Be kind. I didn't put my brakes on when I was in front of him. I was kind, amen? Next he says, be tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted to the needs of other people. Many of you have talked about, well, what can we do for Brother Randy? Right now, not much. But it would say this, probably in the next week or so, we're going to take a special offering for Brother Randy and Miss Leanne. Start putting some money aside to help him. Say, why? He hadn't worked in 3 weeks. I'm sure they're going to need a little extra help. See, what is that, being tenderhearted? He's going to be on special diets and everything else, and most of you, please listen. If you have diabetes, take care of yourself health-wise, dietary-wise. You're killing yourself. We think we are invincible, and how you eat as a diabetic affects everything. But tender-heartedness. Yes, I have a tender heart. Trust me. I don't always show it to you, but it's there. Yeah. Deep down. Learn to hurt when people hurt. Learn to have compassion on people. Learn to feel why they're hurting. Not necessarily feel their hurt, but understand why they're hurting. A couple weeks ago, I preached for Brother C on a Wednesday night. Why? Because I hope someday if something like that happens here, somebody experienced enough can help you through. I've been where they are. Maybe it takes a little bit of compassion. And lastly, it goes with the first part, forgiving one another. Everybody look at me. Do you know what the word forgiveness means? It means to give before the offense. Brother Steve, you can't hurt me. Because I forgave you before you ever try. Forgiveness is a reservoir built up so that when the offense comes, you open it up and say, it's already there. But that hurts, preacher. I don't focus on that. I focus on the forgiveness so we can restore. You're focused on the hurt. I've got the solution all saved up. I just got to put the salve on it. Matter of fact, I've got the store. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And he's got it all in there. It's all I got to do is when the hurt comes, apply it. You're still focused on the hurt. Me? Let's use the balm of Gilead and let's go forward. Amen. Forgiveness was already given before you ask. Why is it God has to forgive us? Forgiveness is not for the one who was doing wrong. Forgiveness is for the person who was wronged. Forgiveness isn't for you, for somebody to say, I'm sorry. Forgiveness is for you to forgive them before they ever say, I'm sorry, so you don't get bitter with the person that hurt you. That's why God has to forgive us. We don't have to forgive God. So forgiveness is not for us, it's for him. So that he doesn't have to stay bitter with a bunch of knuckleheads like us. So, you show me people who discourage the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you people who are always discouraged. You show me people who try to encourage the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you people who stay encouraged. Don't discourage the encourager. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to have a raise of hands, but I have a sneaking suspicion the altar ought to be full tonight. Because one of those areas most of us are guilty of. Forgiveness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, whatever. Let's not discourage the Holy Spirit. Let's encourage him.